Okay, and we are recording. If you could please just tell me your names and how long you've lived in town.
Arthur Klein. Lived in town 25 years.
There's a look of bewilderment on the face of Hillary.
Yes, because I thought... Hillary Stern, and I thought we moved in 1999. Which would mean like 19 years, honey.
Well, I started the office in 90. Three.
Oh, okay. So we didn't live here then. Okay, fine. You're talking about when you started your office.
Okay.
Oh, wait. She's right.
Always.
Should we restart?
It's fluid. I like it.
This is good. Good. All right. It was a couple of years shorter than 25.
We've had an office here since 93.
That's right. We lived in Mount Kisco for three years.
Right.
Okay.
So what brought you here? Why move?
You know, Hillary's mother keeps asking me this question to this day, and so does my own mother. Now, we have friends in New Milford that I went to high school with in Queens.
Really?
So I would visit them once or twice a year, driving from Queens up here. Always thinking I'm driving up to the Canadian border, because I never really knew where here was. But I would get ready with the car. I would check the oil, check the gas, get a good night's sleep, have the maps, 8 hours of music, lunch, everything in my car ready to go, because it was a long ride. So that's how I knew about New Milford, from our friends from Queens. And they still live here for a long time.
So you knew about New Milford that way, but did you just move up here because of your friends?
There was a point in time where I had relocated my office from Long Island. I moved from Long Island up to upstate New York, and I wanted to open an office. And I liked this area. It grew on me. I liked it, so I decided this would be a good area to open a practice.
Hillary, what was your first memory of New Milford?
Not a particularly good one.
Okay.
Because when he decided to open his office here, we had just met and started dating.
And Hillary lived in Manhattan.
Oh, is that?
And I lived in New York City.
Okay.
So we didn't have any commitment to each other. So when Arthur said to me, oh, okay, you know, I'm going to, you know, move, I'm thinking of opening my office in New Milford, I couldn't say anything. So I was like, okay, fine, all right, we'll see where this goes.
And she probably thought, like everybody else, that there's highlight here and it's along the sound. Big surprise.
And then when you first were renting an apartment.
Prospect Commons.
In Prospect Commons. And I remember the first time I came up to visit, and I just remember going along Route 7 and like, are we ever going to get there?
Yeah, first there was that two-hour train ride.
Right.
From Manhattan.
Right. And I just said, OMG. Although I didn't say that then. That wasn't the phrase then.
You actually invented it.
Yeah, right. Yes.
It's a phrase before.
Right. There's a pre-phrase.
Yes.
And I just felt like this was so far away, so very, very far away.
In fact, you took the bus a few times
from
Manhattan.
Yes, I did.
What was that bus called? What was the name of the bus?
Yeah, I don't even remember. But then...
Took her all day to get up here.
Yeah.
So were you both from New York City proper?
Yes, born in Queens, raised in Queens.
And I was... born in Queens, but I lived most of my life in Long Island.
Okay.
On Long Island.
In a area...
Top of my accent.
So this must have been a shell shock to come up to New Milford,
yeah,
then, right?
It was.
Like,
yeah.
So then what
well,
made
it was.
It, yeah. Well,
especially because I had lived for 13, 14 years in New York City.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so... So then when you moved here, like, what made you move here? You know what I mean? Because, like, if you're coming from the city to live in New Milford...
Yeah.
Must have
whole,
been... Well, what drew you, I guess.
He thought it would be a great place to open his office.
Mm-hmm.
So, and, you know, I was just watching.
So why was this a good place to open your office?
That's a good question. You know, I check out how many people. I checked out, you know, the area. It's beautiful.
A lot of crooked backs.
How many of the chiropractors there were
right.
in the local area.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
That was part of it, but also I just felt it was an area that, you know, would be a growing area. It hasn't been discovered yet. It still had a rural quality to it.
So, then can you describe New Milford to me when you guys moved here?
Oh yeah. Well, When we moved here.
When you first moved here, because you moved to the Prospect Commons first,
yeah,
right?
Well, Route 7 was one lane in each direction. Mm-hmm. There were cows on it.
Over by on the road, specifically?
On the road, no, on the side of the road, good point. Over by Churik's Ironworks, there used to be some farm over there with cows. There was every, where there's stores now, it was just
land.
Land.
Mm-hmm. And from your perspective, Hillary, what can you just describe New Milford? I mean,
I could do that for you. Do you ever see Green Acres?
Yes, I have.
So I would sing the song, New Milford is the place for me. She'd go, shopping on Times Square. And I say, fresh air. So it was something like that. I don't know if that gives you the picture of what it was like when she first moved here.
And when she
was Zsa Zsa.
Not hardly, but when we realized that he asked me to marry him and we got engaged, and I said to him, listen, I'll go to New Milford, but I will not go any further north. I refuse. Just too far, because my mom.
Yes.
I shouldn't be with my because my mom at the time lived on Long Island, and I just didn't want to be so far away. So this was like as far as it went.
Do you still
if I would have moved further north? She would have gone.
That's what he thinks. I don't think so.
Do you still feel that way?
At this point, I don't think I want to go. I mean, I like the fact that we're only an hour and a half from the city. I don't think I'd want to go any. I mean, depending if Carly, our daughter, who's mm-hmm. now a junior in college, if she would go, further north or to maybe, but not now. No.
It's a good place to raise kids.
Right. Why?
Well, because where you raise kids with green, a study just came out recently. When kids are raised with a lot of green and trees, they are just do better and smarter and happier.
How about the community, though?
No, that's the real reason, the better reason.
No, I mean, it's all good reasons.
Mm-hmm. No, just a lot to do up here. It's a good community. It's a smaller town. You meet people. You know people. You're not isolated. And they have, there's a lot of things to do here in the way of nature, natural things.
So I frequently hear from people who have lived in town for a majority of their life or whatever, although honestly most people I've interviewed have not, how big New Milford has gotten. And that's because they have this perspective when they were a child. So I'm kind of interested in how you guys, as people who are from areas that are much more populated, how you view New Milford. I mean, do you feel like it's gotten, it's explosively larger and like unwieldy and just has lost its character from when you first moved here?
I don't. The one thing that I have always felt was kind of less than optimal in New Milford is the lack of diversity.
Mm-hmm.
You know, especially having lived 15 years mm-hmm. in New York City, then coming up here, it's just, kind of everyone looks like everyone else. There is very little diversity. And I think over the almost 20 years we've been here, maybe a little bit we've nudged the thing, but not that much. So that's the one thing that I think is a disadvantage, as far
right.
as from my perspective. But no, I don't feel, once there was, 7 was widened, I thought that was a great thing. The only thing that sometimes it feels like now, there's all these stores that are popping up that I don't think really necessarily add to the quality of New Milford. I mean, all these, big box stores and what have you. I mean, I was upset when Walmart opened up. The smaller stores I tend to like more. Mm-hmm. But so it has gotten bigger, but I don't feel like it's, since I haven't lived here, didn't live here as a child, I don't feel like it's gotten out of hand.
Mm-hmm.
Some of the progress I'm not super thrilled with.
Right.
Quote unquote progress.
Yeah, I just see more congestion. Mm-hmm. Route 7 is like a highway, practically. Mm-hmm. Like 20,000 cars an hour mm-hmm. or a day, or whatever it is. So from that perspective, and there's more shopping, more big stores, but the town itself still feels like a small town to me, I would say. So it has a rural feel to it.
Were you the first chiropractor in town?
No way. No, I wasn't.
Okay. No, I didn't know if there was how it was received, I guess. That was going to be my follow-up question, if there was you know, some people are suspicious of it. I'm not. You guys know I'm not, and I buy into it.
But, I'm not either, actually.
but I feel like some people are weird about it, unnecessarily so.
Yeah, some people are weird about everything.
Yeah.
It's well received. It's in wide use. It's extremely popular. Mm-hmm. The largest drugless, or if it comes in ad.
No, it's fine.
The largest drugless healing profession today. And people are a little, you know, well, I never use non-drug options. Everything is drug-based sick care. When you get into health care, you have to be a little more open-minded, but that's called normal, you know. I don't mean the open-minded. Health care is called normal. But I had no problem building a practice. A lot of people looking for non-drug health care then and today more than ever before.
I know some chiropractors have come and gone. Has there been anyone, do you remember how many were here before you and that are still here?
Well, Dr. Hess was here a long, long
all
time.
Right. Okay.
I used to take care of his patients when he went on vacation. And he passed away, unexpectedly.
Several years ago, right?
A long time ago.
Okay, he was a long time ago.
Everything's a long time ago.
Dr. Kaplan.
There was a few others, right? So there was just a few. So I thought it would be good. It was 20. At the time, there was like 25,000 people. Now maybe there's like 27,000 people. I don't think the town grew.
I think it's like 30-something.
I think it's closer to 30,000 now.
All right. Well, there's still plenty of spines.
Right.
Anybody with a spine.
Send them your way.
Right, exactly.
So how have you guys integrated yourself into the community? What are there organizations that you guys belong to that are special to you? Or I ask this knowing that you both belong to organizations. So.
Okay, well, mine is shorter than his, so let's see. When I was, you know, because I was with Carly and we homeschooled, you know, we worked in homeschooling co-ops, but they weren't necessarily just based in New Milford. They had, you know, some New Milford families. Some of them, one of the places we once was a church in Newtown. Another time there was a church in New Preston. But, you know, there were people from New Milford, but also from other surrounding communities.
Mm-hmm.
So I was, the library was a big part of Carly, our daughter's life growing up. So she did a lot of programs here. So we kind of, the library was a big hub for us. And
she worked here too and became Volunteer of the Year.
Right.
No,
right.
That came up last week, I think.
Yeah. That came up last week?
I think when Dr. Klein and I were talking.
Oh, okay. Yeah. So the library was a big, and I'm just thinking if there's any other, I really didn't do a lot of, get involved in a lot of other things because, you know, except for maybe Parks and Recs to the extent Carly did activities or what have you. But more recently though, Literacy Volunteer on the Green, I'm a English as a Second Language tutor. Mm-hmm. So I've helped people, you know, learn, English, And I'm just thinking if there's any other organizations. No, I was very, also when Carly was younger, I was very involved with Temple Shalom, our mm-hmm. temple. So that took some time. And I can't think of any other organizations.
I'm trying
really,
to think of things too, I can't.
Right, well, you
there's got to be something.
For you, you for mean you. For me? Well, you start talking, then maybe it'll come to me.
And I'll just, and you both mm-hmm. can answer this as you
yeah.
say yourself. Mm-hmm. Why was it important for you two to join organizations and become part of the community like that?
Well, you know, as a way to meet people. Mm-hmm. I mean, and first and foremost, our daughter. I think a lot of times when families move to a new neighborhood, how the adults, at least the one who's stay at home, how they meet people is, you know, is through activities of their children.
Mm-hmm.
So that's usually a big thing. I mean, and also, you know, especially since we homeschooled, I didn't have a lot of free time for myself. Mm-hmm. So it wasn't so much me meeting people that I could relate to. It was meeting, you know, parents of children that Carly interacted with.
Right.
It was kind of, so that was my thing. You know, you being, you know, having an office, you probably...
Yeah, I met a lot of people just coming into the office.
Mm-hmm.
But I wanted to be part of the business community, too. So I joined things like the Chamber of Commerce and went to those events, and I still do. And I've been in the Rotary Club. That's probably the biggest...
Forever.
A long time. Right. Somebody invited me. Somebody came into the office. They were a patient. They invited me to lunch at the Rotary. And And I said, what's that? And I didn't really know anything about it. And I thought it would be a good way to meet people and get new patients and make lots of money. Well, it turns out you give more in donations
than you ever make.
And I realized it's bigger than me. It wasn't just... It turns out that it's a way for me to give to the community, to be, you know, to give
service
back to the community.
Service. Right?
Instead of being self... What was the term? Self-serving.
Or self-interest.
I joined
it
to be self-serving, but it turns out it's service above self is the Rotary motto, actually. Mm-hmm. So I met a lot of people, so now I know a lot of people in town, a lot of businesses, got a lot of connections. And we do a lot of good work. I also joined a networking group, newmilfordbusiness.com. 100 years from now, they're going to hear, they go, what was that? What's .com? So I know a lot of people in the business community. And what I like about New Milford, everywhere when you go place, no matter where you go, you bump into people you know. Doesn't matter where. Shopping, gas, in the library, everywhere. So that's what I've been. I've been involved in those organizations.
For, you know, almost since the beginning.
Yeah, 20 years. Well, Rotary, 20 years.
More, probably greater than, because you remember there even when you even live here, right? So it's more closer to 24.
And a networking group, 10 years maybe, something like that.
Do you guys feel like you're part of the community?
Certainly do.
Not as outsiders, but I know people who... who feel like they come in and they don't feel like part of it. That's the only reason I ask that. I consider you both part of the community, but
I know I do. I think we do.
Yeah, I also think, you know, I felt more part of the community when Carly was home. You know, mm-hmm. when she was here, because I think, you know, we did more things in the community. You know, now that since I started working full time in Arthur's office. You know, I don't really have a lot of free time. So maybe not as much as I used to when, you know, Carly, you know, before Carly went to college. Mm-hmm. But, you know, I still feel part of the community. You know, yes, I still feel, but not as intensely, I would say. You probably don't notice a difference for you because the organizations that you are part of, you've been forever, and that hasn't changed at all.
True.
But my involvement with... you know, even with the library, it's much, much less. I mean, I tutor students here, but it's not, you know, I'm not here for all the activities, you know, than when I used to take Carly and what have you. So that's mm-hmm. changed.
I frequently talk to people about something I call community maintenance, mm-hmm. and they're activities that help you feel connected to the community. And they could be things like your Rotary that you've already mentioned, mm-hmm. or literacy volunteers. But there are also things that could be as small as... you know, how we just bump into people in the street, or as big as parades, or the fair days.
Yeah.
Is there something really special and unique for you that makes you feel very connected to the community?
No,
that's fine. No is okay.
I don't really.
No, there must be. Of course there must be. That was a knee-jerk response. feels connected to the community. That's a big question. You have to think about that.
I mean, when I send donations to the local things, whether it's Theater Works or V&A or the culinary school, you know, those are ways I feel connected. But it's not on a day to day. I mean, mm-hmm. I want to support my or the ambulance corps or whatever. You know, we try to give donations, but on a day to day.
It doesn't even have to be day-to-day, though.
Yeah. I mean, I guess I feel part of the community more because of, you know, working in Arthur's office and all the people that I see, and most of them are from New Milford. I mean, although there are people from Sherman, but I mean, the surrounding area.
Yeah.
So because of, you know, the purpose of the office in providing health care to community members, that makes me feel part of the community.
We've met a lot of people. We see a lot of people, especially over the years. Mm-hmm. And everything I do every week, Rotary Club.
Right.
Meet the group of people that's in there. Mm-hmm. So I definitely feel part of the community.
Well, I think it's, I think what's really special mm-hmm. about you guys is that it doesn't feel like you're walking into a doctor's office. It really feels like you're walking into part of the community.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
I really sincerely mean that.
We try to, you know, I consider the office an extension of our home. Mm-hmm. And so I always want to make people feel comfortable and welcomed and, you know, not have to wait long and you know, just like I would want to be treated.
Yeah, so, absolutely.
Yeah. Which is not typical of most doctors' offices. You sit there, there's that window. They say, yes, here, fill out this form. And, you know, they don't introduce themselves.
Here's some pills, go away.
Right, right. Or whatever, you know, or come this way. And then they put you in another room where you wait another 25 minutes. And then the doctor finally comes, you know.
Yeah, we're respectful of their time, but you know, we spend a lot of time there. When you're at work, you want to spend, and you spend a lot of time at any work, you want it to be fun.
Mm-hmm.
You don't want to spend all day in a place you work that you don't know it's not fun.
Right.
So we like to have fun.
It's hence the puns. Don't worry, Dr. Glenn, they're dynamite.
Yes, exactly. We like to have fun, and we like to make it a fun place to come to, because also patients may come there for a number of visits.
Mm-hmm.
So to have somebody wait, let's say they're coming two or three times in a week for a few weeks, depending on their issue, to have them sit and wait a half an hour and inside, that would be a bummer.
Right.
I wouldn't want to go there.
Yeah.
Right.
So this way, they come, they know it's fun, they know this is the place for them, mm-hmm. they look forward to their visits. You know, in like dentist's office, you know, you don't really look forward to that.
Never.
Nobody ever goes to the dentist and say, wow, I'm so happy. I can't wait to be here. I'm so looking forward to my visit.
You know what?
We get that all the time.
Right. You know what, though? Like a lot of dentists.
I'm a person against dentists. Yeah. I know them. They're wonderful people.
The thing about dentists, though, is that if you're in a lot of pain, most dentists won't come in on, say, a Sunday to help you out like you guys have.
Yes. Arthur's even made house calls.
Right.
It's rare that that has to happen, but he will meet a patient in the office on the weekend if need be. Yes,
right.
Yes.
Thank you. Yes, I will.
So awesome. I have one big question I'm going to ask, but do you have anything you want to ask prior to?
I was wondering, do you guys have any specific memories of when your daughter was younger, like with the homeschooling, you know, or I'm fascinated for the simple, because I grew up, I went to the, you know, Scat of Coke, and I went to, I forgot the elementary school right there.
Pettibone?
Yeah. No, not Pettibone. No, the one.
Hillen Plain?
The one right across from
Northville?
Yeah, Northville.
Oh, no.
Sorry.
Okay. Yeah, yeah,
see,
yeah, yeah,
I'm like dating
who
myself.
Remembers
I'm not
it,
even.
Yeah.
I don't.
Yeah.
But I'm just always fascinated because, like, what made you decide for homeschooling, I guess, as opposed to. And do you think it was better in a sense of, like, for her to meet people? You know, like, those type of stuff.
That's a good question.
So,
for both of you, honestly, but yeah.
You know.
So
I decided
that kind of evolved.
Yeah, and I decided, because when Carly was first born, he lived here in here in New Milford, but I lived in Mount Kisco.
No, not when she was born. Once she was born, we...
I moved to Mount Kisco.
Yeah, then we both lived in Mount Kisco.
Oh, that's right. You had lived in New Milford. See, the sequence of events. You lived in New Milford in Prospect Common. And then we both
together.
Right. Because when we first got married, we lived in separate places.
Lived
together.
Okay.
So then finally, you know, we moved to Mount Kisco. We lived there for 2-3 years, and then we moved here to New Milford. But I just remember things like the green, you know, she would play there a lot, or the park on Young's Field, you know, and we'd meet other. And the main reason why I decided to homeschool had nothing to do with that I didn't like the schools here, but I had met in a play group in Mount Kisco some mothers who homeschooled, and I was like, what the heck is that? I never heard of such a thing. You can do that. And then I was very intrigued by the idea because I never knew anyone who homeschooled. And then they recommended some books. I did some reading. And then at first I was like, oh, you know, it seemed like it was a very popular option within the Christian community.
Mm-hmm.
And we were Jewish. And I was like, oh, do Jewish people homeschool? And then I found out, oh, they do. And then I noticed
that. You do it with less than nine children.
Right. That's the next thing. You know, do you have to have, like, almost your own mini school in order to do it? And then I realized, oh, you can have one child in homeschool. That's cool.
Okay, awesome. Then we can do this.
Basically, I said, I can do whatever I want. So there. So, and that's when I decided. And originally, we were only going to homeschool my objective, you know, and Arthur, he said, okay, sure, if you want to do this. You know, my mother thought I was crazy. She goes,
my mother thought we were crazy.
You know, most parents can't wait until their children start school, and now you're saying you want to homeschool. But so I wanted to do between the ages of, you know, maybe from 5 to 7, till she developed her own voice. And then, you know, I would send her to school like everyone else. But then that time came, and she was thriving, and I loved it. And so we just went on to do it. So, you know, it was nice. it was nice being, you know, having a green that was really nice because it was a place and to hang out. You know, Parks and Rec, you know, she would play tennis. You know, so there were a lot of activities to do that were close, nearby, and...
they really sat under trees and read books.
Right. We would do that, you know, so it was very, you know... It was and then Carla would always come to the library and either do an activity or just do her, you know, read her own books. So it was very conducive that way, and everyone was very welcoming. And there's only one thing that I remember as being a homeschooler that being feeling discriminated against. Carly must have been 10 or 11 at the time, and she was kind of teeny when she was little. And it was during the day, and we had just gone blueberry picking up at Swanson's in New Preston, and I had to go food shopping. So when she was reading, I believe she was reading like the Iliad or something, you know.
She was four.
It was like, you know, whatever. In one of her homeschooling classes, they started reading. It's fine. And so she didn't want to come into the supermarket with me, which is totally, you know, I got that.
Oh, so you were going to go blueberry picking?
No, we had already gone blueberry picking. And they, you know, she says, Mommy, I'm going to sit in the car and continue reading and eat my blueberries. And I'm like, cool. So, you know, I said, you roll down the window a little bit because it was a warmer day. And then all of a sudden, I'm in Stop and Shop, and I maybe was in there 10 minutes. And I hear on the speaker, would Hillary Stern please come to the customer service desk? And already my heart was like, okay. So
did I give them an expired coupon?
I hadn't paid yet, so I knew that wasn't the case. And then I go to the front desk, and I see a policeman and Carly standing next to him. And I was like, excuse me? And he goes, and he goes, you're not supposed to be leaving your child in the car by herself. I said, well, I was just going to get a couple of things. He goes, look at the law. She's not 12. That's not allowed. It's against the law. And if, you know, if you do it again, you're going to be in big trouble. Mm-hmm. And I was like, you know, I'm not exactly a speechless type of person, but I was like, I was stupid. I didn't get his name because he talked down to me, which is very inappropriate, I felt. But I was so shocked. And then Carly didn't say much of anything, and then he left, and then I said, Carly, and then she started just crying hysterically. And I said, Carly, what happened? She goes, Mommy, I was reading and eating my blueberries, and there was a man who passed by, and he had like a Bluetooth thing on, and he was talking to someone, and he passed by again, and I said, I think he must have been the one who called the police. Meanwhile, she wasn't in distress. Mm-hmm. She was minding her own business. So that was the one time I was like, and I remember after, I was taking to Hebrew school. It must have been on a Tuesday because she had Hebrew school on Tuesday afternoons, and I was so nervous. I was like, my heart. I just felt like, me of all people, I take Carly every place,
right.
And it was just so ironic. So that was the one.
So why do you think he would discriminate against? He was doing his job. Somebody called. And he has to check it out. There's a kid in the car.
I guess, but
get hijacked. You know.
I guess. But to me, it was like so. You know, she wasn't in distress. She wasn't unhappy. It wasn't like she was 2 years old and an infant. You know, she must.
She knew how to open a door.
Right. But I said to her, I said, Carly, for future reference, you should have never gotten out of the car. Yeah. You know, you should have told the policeman to come inside and get me. But, he could have not been a real policeman.
Mm-hmm. Right.
But I didn't want to. She was so scared already. I didn't want to make her scared anymore. So it's always been an ongoing joke, you know. I don't think I'm going to. And for like a year, she wouldn't stay in the car by herself, you know. And which was fine. I didn't mind her coming. She was the one who wanted to stay in there.
Right.
Know? But that was the only time that I had not a good vibe for the community, you know, overall. I was like, what? And I was really angry at myself for not getting the name of the cop because I would have reported him.
Mm-hmm. Can you just quickly speak to how the homeschooling community, I guess, has changed? Because there weren't, I know for a fact, there weren't as many homeschoolers when you started, right?
Right. You know, because it's been since she started, you know, she went to high school as a ninth grader. So that's when we only homeschooled through eighth grade. So it's been like 7 years.
Okay.
But I know that there are, I just hear from people, like I know from many patients in
patients
our office.
Are coming in now.
And they're homeschooling.
Who homeschool.
Right. And that was a rarity.
Oh, wow.
That was a rarity before. So I just think more people are choosing it as an option. Mm-hmm. So that's the only thing I could really comment about.
So here is the big question, guys. The big question is, what is your ideal New Milford? If down the road, 50 or 100 years, what would your ideal New Milford be?
Well, I'd want it to keep those people from Queens out of here. Shut the damn borders.
Build a wall.
Is there a lot of Queens people coming over here? Is that what you're saying?
New Yorkers up here.
Especially on the weekends. First of all, in my ideal New Milford, there would be bike paths and walking paths. So people could get around. That's the first thing. I think that is so terrible.
I agree 100%.
That when we expanded 7, that we did not put, that we didn't have the foresight to make bike paths, because I think that's a shame.
And I asked Art Pyler, the mayor, about that.
Yeah.
I knew him.
What was his response?
Don't bother me. He said it's a state thing. He said it's a state road.
Right.
No, to his defense. It was a state road, a state thing, and they were happy to get it expanded, and they couldn't be too greedy about things or something. And that's that. So that's why no bike lane.
How about you, Dr. Klein?
No sidewalk.
Besides no people from Queens, what is your what is
building
your ideal?
The big wall.
Is the wall gold?
No. It's made with love.
I don't know. I mean, I didn't think of that one, but that's a good one. Sidewalks that you can walk from the bridge all the way to Stop and Shop. You can walk along there safely.
Yeah, make it more interconnected, not just this hub right. here.
Right.
It would be really nice.
It's very choppy.
Yes, it is very, very choppy, yes.
Very choppy. So, bike lanes, safe bike lanes, definitely.
And it probably would be nice if also there was more affordable housing in town, or in the surroundings thing. Because just from a community development standpoint, I think that it needs more of that. To continue the farmers markets. I mean, those are the things. I mean, the fact that now they do it in the East Street School during several months during the winter, I think is wonderful. But really more encouraging the local aspect, because I think people, I think especially with social media and the internet and everyone on their devices, I think the pendulum's going to swing back and people are going to really want community more, and buying locally. And I think that would really help New Milford be different than lots of other communities, and still help it. And still help it save. I mean, something like Theater Works is a wonderful, gem that we have. Here, more local things would I think really help rather than trying to get the big stores to come here to develop things more locally. I think would be really nice. And I don't know anything else ideal. I mean, I think this was a great place to raise a child. More diversity would be really nice.
But I want to see you maintain a small town charm.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Well, guys, this is exactly what I was hoping for, and I know you were concerned, but you spoke for about 45 minutes.
Wow.
So,
it all came full circle, you
right.
see?
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
I'm going to stop recording,
okay.
And thank you very much.
Thank you.
You're very welcome.
Thank you.